The World Show with Nikki B. The best in African music, on The World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, I am Nikki B. And talk about the best in African music. Right now, we have got a master of African guitar, is what I'll say. Billy Monama, welcome again to The World Show. Always, Billy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nikki, man. It's been a minute I've been here, you know.
Yeah, you said it was, what, 2019 or something?
Yes, 2019. So we have, like, 2 years not speaking.
Yes.
On air. But we've been speaking, and you know, I was updating you about the latest project. You know, that was, you know, I was busy cooking, and I wanna greet the listeners, you know, from home, wherever they're driving from, and I'm greeting you in the studio.
Yes, thank you, Billy. And you know, you talk about 2019.
Yes.
Let me tell you. I remember when you said to me in 2019, I remember the last, I didn't realize it was so long ago, but I remember you said, I'm working on this book. I've got things coming. It's going to be happening. And now you are with us to celebrate this beautiful book, Introduction to South African Guitar Styles, Volume 1, 5 Decades of Ukuvamba, 1930s to 1980s.
Yes.
Wow, what a beautiful book. I've got to congratulate you.
Thank you so much.
Because I haven't seen you since I got a copy of it. So.
Thank you so much. And I'm glad that you received the copy. You know, I was going to hunt you down until you get the copy. Ukuvamba, you know, people, they ask me, what is Ukuvamba? So now, Ukuvamba, it is pretty much to strum.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I had to put a lingo, you know, in the title, because I was privileged to work with older musicians, and through the journey of working with older musicians, they kept referring to the strumming as Ukuvamba.
Okay.
So now the early guitar players, you know, who were migrants, who came to Johannesburg. You know, they used to play guitar in the street corners of, you know, Johannesburg, looking for that opportunity.
Yes.
You know, because someone told them that there's gold. And, and so many of them, others, they were not documented. And, Hugh Tracy, he did amazing work of documenting those musicians, through what is called a field recordings.
Yes.
And, you know, when I was tracing back how the guitar, it was played back then, it was something like this, but Ukuvamba. If you listen to this, even the people from Botswana, you know, they play like this kind of strumming. So it is important, you know, so it evolved as time as went by. So now we'll get into the business of evolution later, but I was just demonstrating what is Ukuvamba.
What is the strumming?
Yes.
And I mean, it's amazing because, yeah, I don't even know where to begin. There's so much I want to speak to you about with this book. But let's go back to the beginning before I ask you those other questions.
Yes.
What was the significant thing or series of things that made you feel, I don't just want to release another album. Yes, that I'll do in time.
Yes.
But this is important to actually do study, to unearth, if I can say, a lot of this information. What was the inspiration behind doing this book?
It was, you know, I've said this many times, and if I was not conscientized, and if I was not patriotic, this book wouldn't have happened. I have a strong love and believe that African music, it has so much value. But now the problem is that we cannot always present it through music. We need to bring it on the international marketing competitors, because when I was at school, I was studying using the material of a Jimmy episode. And I asked myself, don't we as South African have brains to produce the same book, you know? So, I mean, in the history class, I was writing a history from Charlie Parker, Wes Montgomery, John Coltrane, and all these people, I have their images of how they look like. But I don't know how the masters who played the guitar looked like.
Yes.
You know, so I was always interested in history from long time ago. That's how I end up studying political science, because I was always fascinated about history. And I realized that, you know, it is very imperative to document our music without it being diluted, and we as black people tell our stories as they are.
Yes. So
that's because every time I'll watch something on TV or from the internet, they tell a black story, but I refuse. I said, no, that is not true. That is why in this book, I even brought correct names. Remember, like I've said, that those musicians, those guitar players who were busking at the street corners, they were taken by record companies like Gallo. They put them there. They did not know how to write African names, and they misspelled all those African names. So I brought corrections into who are these people?
Yes. Yeah. What are the real facts?
The real names. I mean, like, for example, having to wonder that there's M.D. Shirinda. The reason there's M.D. Shirinda, it is because the Westerns, they couldn't write a Tsonga name. And then they're like, okay, you will be M.D. Shirinda from now on.
Just M.D.
M.D., yes.
Yes.
You know, so through the research, I got to discover all these things. So this is what I've always wanted to do, to make sure that we document our stories for ourselves before anyone come and dilute them.
Yes, and I mean, even in the process of this, and we'll speak more about it, but you unearthed these gems, the music, you know, songs.
Yes.
You unearthed gems. And if it wasn't for a book like this in the 2020s, that music, those songs.
Yes, absolutely.
Would have disappeared into obscurity.
Absolutely. And, you know, the music, it is the one that influenced me to choose the personnel who to biograph.
Yes.
Because someone may ask me, why don't this and that is not in the book?
Included, yes.
Included.
Yes.
But for me, it was that I had to choose the significant virtuoso and innovators who brought the style and the sound into the music. Those are the people I write about. I don't write about the followers, people who.
But again, I'm sure there were others, innovators, that you could have included, but you've got to limit it, because otherwise this would be an encyclopedia.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is why I said it's a volume one.
Thank you.
So
yes.
Now, volume two, I will dive into the blues potanga.
Yes.
You know, that is when I speak 80s who were influenced by. So now, in the jazz guitar, we have about the first early generation, the first guitar who was successfully recorded by, you know, Gallo Records, then was Willie Kumete.
Yes.
Willie Kumete, he recorded in the 1930s.
Yes.
And then in the 1950s, there was a successful set of group of guitar players from General Duze. General Duze,
yes.
he was the father of the jazz guitar at that time, Inoktavete, Stanford Tzu. You know, when I was looking on the internet, looking at Stanford Tzu, on the internet, it shows the Chinese name.
It comes up in Chinese.
Yes, it comes up in Chinese.
Yes.
And then I searched on Facebook the Tzu's. I hunted the Tzu's. I interviewed the kids. I was like, hey, do you know Stanford? Man, there was no biography written or whatsoever about Stanford Tzu until I read. So now, these were the first set of the jazz guitar. Then the second generation, when electric guitar, it was introduced, is the development of electric guitar.
Yes.
Then you speak about the Black Consciousness time era of the 1960s, Dan Malombo.
Yes.
Then Alan Kwela came on.
Yes.
Johnny Foree.
Yes.
Cyril Magubane. Those were the main figures of that era. And then it passed that era post black consciousness in the 1980s. We have the people like the Dagitao who recorded with we recorded Bam Jive. I'm sure many will realize. Many recognize this, and Bam Jive became a hit, and those they brought a different styles of Okuvamba. Then that's the generation of Themba Mokoena. You know, all these guys they came from. So we have all this generation. I brought them all in sequence.
Yes, in the book. Beautiful. And I mean, talking about that Bam Jive style, I think that Jive style was the first sounds that started reaching across the borders and going abroad and making people were saying, wow, the sound that comes from South Africa. But what you've done is even gone, as you said, before that.
Before that, yes. I mean, like, you know, like the Mpatanga music, I can say to you that Mpatanga, it was the music that it was created by musicians who were coming from Limpopo. My Max Mangwane is from Varambath, what is called today Vila Vila.
Yes.
Joseph Makwela, Elakimunama, you know, is from Varambath as well.
Yes.
So now all those musicians, they were laborers. What do you call domestic workers?
Yes, all laborers. Yeah, yes.
They were domestic workers. So now during their break over the weekend, they will meet together and gather together at the park or maybe at the train station at the train to play. Then Western Kosi joined them.
Yes.
When Western Kosi joined them, they said, no, you know what is it? We're going to Johannesburg. They came to Johannesburg. When they came to Johannesburg, they met Vivian Ngubane.
Yes.
When they met Vivian Ngubane, you know, that Mahona Tsohle, it was the inception of it. And people, they always confuse it with Mpatanga, with other styles of music. And Vivian Ngubane was a special man who brought a rhythm guitar to sing. So now, there were two guitars in Mpatanga. There was a lead guitar that was played by Max Mangwane.
Yes.
And then there was Vivian Ngubane who was playing rhythm guitar.
Yes.
You know, and the rhythm guitar, it placed a role of replacing a piano in music.
Yes.
If you remember, I mean, if you listen to the recordings of the 1950s, you find that, Almon Memela is playing a lead guitar, and then Stanford Tsiu is playing a rhythm guitar. All this thing was played in a harmonic structure, you know. So now there was no keyboard needed because Vivian Ngubane, they used to call him Umkhizo Mncane. So now all these stories.
What does that mean?
Umkhizo Mncane, a young Mkhize. Because he was short.
Yes.
They say that he was short and dark, but very talented.
Yes.
And I was privileged to have interviewed Joseph Makwela, who is a pioneer of Mpatanga, you know, and Lakimunama as well, who was the drummer, you know, from Mahona Tsohle. And they shared so much story. Without them, I couldn't have written this book, the chapter.
Yes, there's so many questions I want to ask you about this book, but I think let's hear one of the songs, and these songs are significant to the book as well.
Yes.
So the first one is East Strings.
Yes.
Tell me about this track and why this is a significant track.
Well, I Inop Tavete is someone I wish who when he played, I wish I could go back. I wish I was born then, you know. And I interviewed Rob Ellingham. He said that Enoch Tabete, he was one of the versatile guitarists. Every time you hear a Hawaiian guitar in the recordings, it was him playing. So he could play a guitar, Hawaiian guitar, and he was a singer, and he was a choir conductor. He was the whole package. So now, when I had, I always say, I don't want to just write the stories. I want to hear how they sounded like.
Absolutely.
And I was privileged. People, you know, the Chris Albertine, they offered me recordings for reference so that when I write with the conscious understanding how they sounded like.
Yes. And as a musician, you've been able to understand what they were doing, you know?
Absolutely, because I need to write a score and make sure that I interpret them very well with the audio reference. So this is the song that is very close to me. I was like, Enoch, he was the man.
And in fact, talking about the score and talking about more, these are some of the questions I'm going to be asking. Okay. Billy Monama afterwards. Don't forget to get your copy. It's a stunning book. Introduction to South African Guitar Styles, Volume 1. I mean, Billy Monama, did you ever think you would play alongside Enoch Tabete?
Wow, man. I mean, these guitar players, they were influenced by, you know, a guitar player who was born 1918, Freddie Green. He was recording with all those guys, you know, the Count Basies, you name them. So they had like a kind of a 2-2-4 bar kind of a strumming, you know. You know, so all this Ukuvamba, because now in the 1920s, the cinemas, they were introduced in South Africa. And migrants, people with the mind, they found entertainment into that cinema, you know, films and music and gramophones, they were introduced.
Yes.
That is why at that time, there was a lot of cowboy movies.
Because even there, I was thinking, you know, Enoch Tabete and his Hawaiian cadets. I was like, how did he know what Hawaiian music was way back? When was that, in the 30s or something?
Yeah.
You know, but it's the movies.
Yes.
It's the movies.
And then the guitars, there were other brands of the guitars that were introduced. The guitar that it was homemade, it was called the Singer. Singer, the sewing machine.
Yes,
it was a product. It was a product of Gallo, Gallo Tone.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, they manufactured that, but because of copyright, the sewing machine, they were like, get out of our brand.
Yes.
So that guitar, I mean, like, it was available. It was played by one of the Beatles. John Lennon. He played that guitar as well.
Oh, amazing!
You know, singer. So now that is why you found the early musicians by the name of Cowboy Superman.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. The cowboy sweethearts.
Yes.
So now all those early guitar players, they had been, they were influenced by the films at that time and the music.
So interesting.
The years of a yodeling of Jimmy Rogers.
That's right.
So now, Maskanda, that's how then it get developed and developed and developed.
Yes. In fact, a couple of weeks ago when I was speaking about the Gallo, the archives that they now do the podcast, I played one of those yodeling songs. So you're absolutely right. But Billy, I just want to ask you a couple more things about this book, because I want people to really understand what it's about. You know, when I look at this book, you have included notations, you've included, you've scored the music.
Yes.
But also, so that for me was interesting. When I read the book, for a layperson like myself, I can read it, I can understand, I can enjoy the biographies, I can enjoy the history.
Yes.
But you've also included the scoring of certain songs. And then what caught me while I was preparing for the show was these beautiful conversations
yes.
that you're having. And I think that on YouTube, you can, yes. people must, I urge you
yes.
to go to YouTube
yes.
and see some of these conversations. I sat for ages
yes.
just watching some of these amazing conversations you're having. So why did you decide to include those aspects into the book?
You know, so now when I was researching, I realized that there are so many books about South African music history. And I applaud and I commend all those authors who came before me
yeah.
to write these stories about South African music. But I wanted to make my mind different. What is it going to differ from a professor somewhere at university?
Yes.
I realized and I used the advantage that I'm a musician after all before an author.
Yes.
And I need to present music into this book, not just history and biographies, so that when someone who is a musician wants to reach out in the book, they can access it with the scores. So now when I speak about Allan Kwela, I need to demonstrate what Allan Kwela played, you know.
Yes.
And the reason I made videos, I created videos, is so that those who can't read music,
yes.
they can view them.
Yes.
You know,
but again, I think the beauty of the videos is also the conversations
yes.
that you were having. And in fact, there was, I was enjoying all of them, but there was one specific one when you were talking about Maskandi.
Yes.
And that is just so... so beautiful and interesting. Tell us about the man you were speaking to.
That was Mbuzeni Mkize. Oh my goodness. I met him through through the project that we're doing some years ago. And this man, he came in studio and he played guitar. I did not believe this man can play all these sub-styles of Maskanda. And he was just showing off, like, yeah, yes, Lela. I was like, what is this thing?
Yeah, that's the thing. And you watch him on that video.
I watch him,
and
yes.
he's playing all these different styles. It's
yes.
absolutely remarkable. It gave me understanding, again, as
yes.
a layperson,
yes.
to be able to watch and see him play and hear the difference.
I didn't want my voice only. I brought the guest into this research so that they can give a external depth
yes.
than just being my voice only saying
it. And I suppose it's because you believe you're also learning from them.
Yeah,
your role as an author is to
yes.
do the research.
Absolutely.
Yes.
When I put him there, I mean, like this, guitar player from Konongoma, he told me for the first time in my life I've ever heard of that guitar player, Mkashiwe Ndlovu.
Yes.
He told me about Amahubo. I did not understand that kind of music. And when I was working with, a friend of mine, Mbuso Khoza, introduced me to that music. But from the guitar point of view, I didn't understand it until Mbuzeni Mkize, showed me. And I can tell you a true story. I learned from those videos myself.
Yes.
Because I did not know. If you hear this and then you hear, all this, all Because the regions, they're the ones that defines the styles of music, you know, like with the West Coast, the South Coast.
Yes.
They play differently. And then now between the Zulu people and the Xhosa area, there's Amabhaca, the music that, you know, is influenced, we call it Isikhuze. There's a style of Maskanda called Isikhuze.
And this is more the East.
Yes, the Eastern Cape. Absolutely, yes. So now the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, that Maskanda is influenced by the rhythm, by the umgidiwemfene. So now this is a dance, the direct translation of it is a ceremony of a baboon. But I was like, so now, if umgidiwemfene, how are the people dancing? And then when I watched the videos, how these people, they were dancing, and I was like, wow. So now the rhythm and the dance influenced the music.
Yes.
I was, you know, when I was reading about, researching about Maskanda, I think that was the hardest chapter for me, because I wanted to know where it comes from. And I interviewed, you know, what is it? I quoted so many people because I never wanted to say this is my voice. I wanted to say according to this said
yes,
that, because
yes.
I was just overwhelmed by so much extensive information that I did not even know of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful as a musician
yes.
to be learning firsthand from these people. That is a gift. You know that I'm sure for you, as you're playing, I'm like sitting here thinking, I wonder what Billy's next album is going to sound like, because I'm sure this is food
yes.
for your own expression as an artist.
Absolutely. I have something, and on the next coming album, I have something special, and because I love evolution, so I've brought some young people to make this music a little bit modern, so that
but actually to honor the
yes.
roots of the music
absolutely
in a contemporary way, I suppose.
Absolutely. I mean, like this book, if it wasn't so many of people who were part of it, like people who helped me to write, to structure it down. Because remember, I'm not a scholar. I don't have a master's degree and PhD.
Yes.
So those people, they were always there. Sis Gwen Ansel, she was my angel.
Yes.
You know, angel. When I went there to her, I was like, Sis Gwen, I want to write a book. And she was like, to me, Billy, why do you want to write a book? There's no money in book business. I was like, I'm doing it for my people. That is why
yes.
I said to you that if I wasn't patriotic, this book wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
People like the Dave Copeland, you know, who were like professors
yes.
and they already written books.
So and I think you even credited Sam Mate for
yes.
one of, it wasn't you who wrote that particular biography. He wrote it and you honored him. So it's a collective effort in a way, initiated by Billy.
Absolutely. Mm. Sam Mate, I wrote to everyone, the Simon Allen, you know,
yes.
everyone who wrote the biography. Because I mean, like people like Sam Mate,
yes.
they were there before me. They had the privileges of interviewing Allan Kwela.
Yes.
I did not have it.
Before he passed away.
Yeah,
yes.
So I did not have it. So now, I thought, okay, cool. I don't wanna try to, because I'm trying to avoid plagiarism.
Yes.
So to avoid plagiarism, you just quote them and give them the credit.
Yeah,
as it
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because now I can't take something from Sam Mate and rewrite it as if it's mine, and then
as
I own.
As if you interviewed.
No,
yes.
I did not.
Yes.
So now to avoid that, I had to credit everyone.
No, but I think that's absolutely beautiful for a book like this to be able to say I'm including other experts.
Yes.
My role is to pull it all together.
Absolutely.
My role is also to give where my knowledge is.
Yes.
But to acknowledge that this is a bigger story in a
yes.
sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, but other stories, I wrote
yes.
them from scratch. And I was so proud of myself. I'm like, okay, I'm bringing a new voice. Because,
yes.
because when the researchers, when the scholars, they research, they have like, a little of a point of reference. So
yes.
now this book, it brings a new solution and a new point of reference.
But you also bringing the point of reference of a musician.
Yes.
You hearing it yes. as a musician.
Yes.
They're hearing it as a scholar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Absolutely. That is why this book is not the same as others, because now this course that they're in the book, you can access the audio on SoundCloud for free.
Yes.
So that people who can read music, they must not feel like there's a hindrance and they feel like they've been left out. And I remember when I was in East London, I left a book at the library. One of the critics said to me that, Billy, why are you giving away books? I said to them that, you know, when I was young and I was doing a research, this kind of books, they were not available anywhere.
Yes.
Because if I take these books and then I place them only in the institutions like varsities,
yes.
the varsities will put a red tape, and then it will be a hindrance for someone, for a disadvantaged black child to infiltrate this information,
yes.
because remember adversity is supposed to, where is the student card? You don't
yes,
have it.
Absolutely.
So when is it the public library? Everyone can access it there.
No, that's brilliant. And again, I'm going to stress the fact that while this book is written by a musician and it really breaks down these different styles of South African music, and it's got scores, which I can't read music.
Yes.
But I can still read this book and enjoy it. And I think that's what you wanted.
Yes.
And in fact, if I remember, that's what you said to me in 2019.
Yes.
I wanted to be a book that can be used by scholars, but also be enjoyed by the general public.
Absolutely. I mean, like this first publication, it is for a general consumption.
Yes.
You know, because I'm still gonna have to put it in a package that it goes according to the standards and of the Department of Education.
Yes.
So that's when it is solely about
academia.
You know, so for this first installment of publication, it is solely for everyone, for
whether
South
you're
Africa,
a musician, or, a student,
yes.
an academic, or just somebody who's a music lover.
As a music lover, you know, because so many times I went to a studio to record the guitars, the producers, I'm laughing when I think about this, the producers will say, hey, Billy, I want you to come and play Marabi, man, in the recording. And I'm thinking, Marabi recording? And I'm like, okay. When I get to the studio, the music is not even close to Marabi.
Yes.
It's somewhere else. That's when I realized that even the producers themselves, they need this book. Even the professionals,
yes.
even the professionals themselves, they don't know South African
yes.
Sub-styles of music.
And by subsidizing the book with audio material, with the scores, with visual material, videos, multimedia.
Yes.
It makes it even more accessible.
It makes it even more accessible. And that demonstration, I'm demonstrating, in a slow motion and faster, you know, so it is more engaging. And I break down what I played, what someone couldn't grasp for the first time.
Absolutely. Let's hear one of the other songs that you make reference to
yes.
In the project, Amapoisa. Tell me about this one, Almon Mamela.
Oh man, you know, when I was doing a research and I came across this guitar player, you know, and I realized that he was one of the special guitar player who came from KwaZulu-Natal. And, but now I wanted to know how the music sounds like, you know, and like I said previously that, you know, people like Chris, you know, Albertine and Rob Ellingham, they made, you know, the recordings to be accessible for me to draw a point of reference. And this song, it came, When it played, then I started putting things together, that the perspective about Maskanda, that, oh, so now this is the lineage of Maskanda. So now it's Maskanda music, but before it became pop.
Yes.
You know, like, I mean, like, when
actually this was like the original folk.
Yeah, I mean, like he's a generation after the John Bengu, Buzu Shukela.
Yes.
So now the successful Maskanda musician to ever put Maskanda on the map in terms of putting the electronifying performance and having the dentists and doing all those
contracts. And what I call the new traditional.
Yes. It was Pussy Shugela. And then it was Pussy Shugela. And we only knew of Pussy
Kemisi, Mfazo Nyama.
Mfazo Nyama. But when I was doing a research, then I discovered so many, you know, the Cowboy Sweetheart, the Petrus Mdambo, you know, and so forth. And when I had, you know, Almon Memela, he was playing jazz as well. He evolved with the music from Maskanda. He played African jazz. He was there during the 1950s until he released like electronic album.
Electrified, yes.
Funky, some funky music, music playing with the Wawa in the 1980s.
Yes.
Imagine this man. And then later on he became a record label manager and he was an all-rounder.
Let's hear this track, Amapolisa from Almon Memela. You're listening to The World Show and I am with Billy Monama. Get yourself a copy of the book, Introduction to South African Guitar Styles, Volume 1. How absolutely beautiful, Almon Memela, Amapolisa. Thank you for, again, unearthing these treasures,
yes.
Billy. And now I can play it on the World Show because of your book.
I'm bringing a repertoire of people they don't even have somewhere in their homes.
Yes.
And then someday they will try to share them it and nothing comes
there.
Yes,
absolutely.
I got material. People, if they want to know about this song, they need to buy the book.
Yeah, because these are stuck in the archive somewhere. They're not, it's through the likes of a project like this that they are brought again.
Absolutely.
And I just have to read this message. Dipono wrote such a beautiful message saying you have to love Billy's enthusiasm when he speaks about the writing of this book. It was a privilege for me to attend his workshops at Joburg Theatre and meet the legendary Ntate Themba Mokoena. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to, there's some beautiful other messages here, but I brought that up, Billy, because of the importance of your workshops. And it seems to me that you're doing more and more.
Yes.
Is this something you want to continue along the way?
It's something that I want to continue. And, you know, I told myself that I don't want to do workshops anymore if I don't have a point of reference.
Yes.
Because I go and do a master classes and workshops. But if there's no point of reference, that is a book.
Yes.
It's for me talking and talking without.
Okay.
Because now, subsequent from the workshop, the students and or the candidates, they will ask me, what is that? So now I won't have time to respond to everyone.
Yes.
But the book is there to respond.
And sometimes also as a, you know, if you are going to a workshop or as a scholar, even if you're just a person who's interested.
Yes.
You start thinking about things after the workshop.
Yes.
And that's what the book allows you to do. You might not have thought about it in the moment, but as you're driving home, tomorrow morning you think, what was it he was saying he was doing there?
Yes. So now, absolutely. I mean, like, I did a tour of workshop. I went to KwaZulu-Natal. I went to University of Pretoria. I went to Central Johannesburg College. I went to all the schools. I mean, I went to Wits University and the professor there is like, Billy, we would like you to have you again, man. You know, that was the best workshop we had. But now the problem is that these workshops, I'm only given 1 hour.
Yes.
There's no way I can present all this documentation in 1 hour. In the book, I have about 8 chapters. I have Maskanda, and I have Kwela, I have Umpatanga, I have Chitonga guitar, I have African jazz, I have another African jazz. So now this is the continuity of African jazz that introduced the electric guitar. And then I have African jazz post 70s. So now African jazz is being subdivided into 3 categories.
Yes.
Don't you
sometimes feel though you just touched the tip of the iceberg? I mean, even like I got stuck on the Maskandi section. I don't know if it's because of my growing up in KZN or whatever, but even that was like, the next thing you need a volume just for Maskandi, a volume just, and then we talk about the African jazz.
Yes.
Which now that's a whole nother encyclopedia
yes,
series.
Absolutely. You know? So now people then must know that the African jazz now, the first time, I mean, where it appears in the chapter, it was during the acoustic era.
Yes.
So now those were like the times of, you know, the big bands and, you know, they were introduced. And, I speak about the politics that, they were influenced by the music. Remember, there was a forced removals. So now the forced removals from, George Koch, you know, people from George Koch, they were forced removed. They went to, Orlando. So now the guitar players who were there were from George Koch was General Duze.
Yes.
So now it has those pioneers like General Duze and, you know, and all those guitar players, they were at that time, they were not composers. They
yes.
were backing, the Miriam
yes.
Makeba, the Dolly Rathebe.
Yes.
So they only now, when I say the development of the jazz guitar, I speak about the composers who compose the music.
Yes.
So it grows and grows and grows, you know, until 1980. So someone might think that, you know, the person, where are these people's music? They did not record their own albums.
Yes.
A solo artist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so yeah.
Yes, and to find those little gems that they might have just squeezed in here and there
yes.
is a whole nother thing.
Absolutely. I mean, like when first time I heard of General Duze, it was from the Miriam Makeba and the Skylarks.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, usually they will play like they will vamp, and he was not from a vamp.
Yes.
But General Duze was like, no, he advanced the harmony.
Yes.
You know, he was ahead, yeah.
Yes, and even Baba Mokoena, I mean, I think, it was, and we know, I know him from playing with Busi Mhlongo.
Yes.
So for now, instance, yes.
Baba Mokoena, he's in the book.
Yes.
I interviewed, oh man, I have so much sad stories, man. I interviewed the wife of Baba Mokoena and the son, Spelele. And I interviewed the wife on the phone, she was in tears, was emotional.
Yes.
And I did not know, I just kept quiet and I let her have a moment because...
Nobody had ever asked her before. And you'd asked her
yeah.
what she needed to say. Yes.
Man, you know, they were so much helpful. They gave me the obituary that confirms the date
yes.
of birth and the date yes. of demise. And they sent me the photos. They've given me everything I requested, not Baba Mokoena only, many families, because
yes.
to find the images of these
yes.
musicians, it was very hard. Remember, because they were early guitar players, they were backup guitar
yes.
players, so no, they were not in the front.
Yes.
So the photographer will focus on the
lead artist, yes.
not the individual like
yes.
today's photographer. Today's
yes.
photographer like Spion Klambi, he photographs everyone.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
and other photographers, they photograph everyone, the drummer, even the one who plays a triangle in the band.
Yes.
So, Baba Mokoena, yes, there's a very sad story I wrote in his biography from the wife. And people, they must not confuse Baba Mokoena and Themba Mokoena. When I asked Themba Mokoena, who is Baba Mokoena? It's like, So they only met here. They met in, at Pelican.
Yes.
At Pelican nightclub in Soweto. So they did not know each other.
Yes.
So now because of the same name, we assume that they are related. So that's what I was trying to distinguish.
Okay.
Book.
Billy, I'm going to have to let you go. I've got Tutu Pohani coming. It's been amazing. I mean, we've been together almost an hour and I could have another 3 hours with you.
Yes. The book, it is available at exclusive books.
And can you order also online? You can,
yes.
You can order it online. And also I urge people to go to Billy's website.
Yes.
Billymanama.co.za. Please go to Billy's website, because it was almost as I was reading the book, I wanted to also be on the website and on Billy's YouTube channel. Yes. So that, and the website will take you also to those YouTube clips.
Yes.
And that was how I discovered them, was through the website.
Wow,
so
thank you.
Please, I urge you, get this book. It's amazing. Introduction to South African Guitar Styles, Volume 1, 5 decades of Ukuvamba. And I'm going to end this feature with one other track that you gave me, Alanetic. Tell me about this.
Alan Kwela. People that don't know this album. When I heard this album, I was like, what? This album was recorded in 1970s. And right now we have an assignment to tell who were the personnels in the band. Anyone who knows the personnel in the band, please write me a message. I will really want to know. I just fell in love with this album. The album is called, it's coming from the Alan Kwela.
Alan Solberg.
Solberg,
Alan,
yeah.
Alan Solberg. I like that.
Alan Solberg, yeah.
Alan Kwela Octet. The track is Alanetic. Coming up after this, and then Tutu Powani is going to be with us in the studio. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Always
really
a pleasure.
Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. The World Show with Nikki B. Every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. on Kaya 959.